Hey, welcome to the show where we are exploring the genius and wisdom of humanity. I'm excited to welcome back today a guest that we've previously had on the show. Last time talking about his journey through entrepreneurship, where he was kind of featured in Inc. magazine's 30 Under 30. He was named one of Techstars, kind of rising stars, and actually co-founded the first all-black cooperatively owned and operated private equity firm. Now we're here to talk about something completely different, is the release of his brand new book, which is called Heal Thy Hustle. Please join me in welcoming Raz Ahsan. Welcome, Raz.
Peace. What's going on, Pete? Man, I'm thankful that I'm able to come back on the show, man, and cool. Had this conversation with you again. A lot has happened since we've last got a chance to touch base, so I'm glad that the show is still rolling and I'm able to be on it again.
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing for me is just give everyone just a little overview of what the book's about, and then we'll dive into kind of why you've written the book and why you feel it's important to share this message as well.
Got you. So Heal Thy Hustle is really about improving your quality of life. So no matter who you are, there's something in Heal Thy Hustle that will help you improve your quality of life. With that, I also targeted and wrote the book specifically for people who have an active lifestyle. So whether that be entrepreneurs, college students, single parents, you know, 9-to-5 career driven individuals, all of those, you know, lifestyles are on the move, on the go, right? And when it comes to food and exercise, a lot of those things can typically get pushed to the back burner because of life's priorities. So with Heal Thy Hustle, I've essentially compiled different practices, methodologies, and paradigms over 10 years of formal and informal study. I myself am a certified herbalist of Greco-Islamic medicine, and I'm also a certified personal trainer. So I was able to not only put together my anecdotal information and the things that I've observed, but also actually able to bring some time-tested science, peer-reviewed science into the mix to help people, again, just increase their overall quality of life through the food that they're eating, through the habits that they're maintaining, and just their whole outlook on life.
Awesome. So, yeah, I mean, look, this day and age, and especially with kind of, you know, the 18 months to 2 years we've just been through, you know, this is perhaps, you know, the most timely moment to release a book like this, because I think more than ever, people, especially, you know, like you say, those busy individuals are experiencing, you know, stresses and anxieties that they've never experienced before.
Right. And also, you know, it's somewhat counterproductive, where many of us are hustling and on the grind and in go mode so that we can increase the quality of our life, right? Whether that be experiencing luxury goods or having more choices to eat more foods and, you know, give our families more time and more attention. Yeah. However, if you are forsaking your health and not prioritizing your health amidst all of these other different goals and aspirations, what's going to happen to you, right? What's going to happen to that quality of life that you were ultimately striving for to begin with is going to sink. What happened to, you know, you were doing it for your family to spend time with them? What's going to happen? You know, you're going to be taken prematurely. So I think we've seen enough executives, we've seen enough entertainers who have, you know, passed super early, right? To where, of course, we all have to go. And all of us can't necessarily say that the issues that we experience could be prevented, right? Some chronic issues is just the way of the world. It just is what it is. But some of these issues can be prevented and others can be treated and actually contained through diet and lifestyle.
Yeah, for sure. Looking at the industry that you've been working in, you know, that kind of like tech startup space. My own experience of that is that it's kind of like super kind of like high pressure. There's high expectations. You know, founders are typically on their own, or they're one of two, and you know, they're constantly pushing and striving. If they've got investors on board, they're being pushed by the investors to to work harder. What's your view on that? I mean, I imagine to some degree you've experienced that either personally or you've seen it in in startup founders that you've kind of like mentored and coached?
Yeah, man. I'm a fan of work, right? Working makes me feel good. Being productive makes me feel good. And that's kind of one of the things that I've learned about myself over time, is that when I feel good, I'm going to get some work done, right? And when I don't feel good, my work is going to suffer. I'm either not going to do it or it's not going to be to the quality. And so that kind of plays into why healing your hustle or why taking care of your physical, mental, and spiritual health are so important. Because as entrepreneurs, as hustlers, right, in this current gig economy where everybody has some type of side hustle or whatever the case is that your work is going to be hampered and affected if you're depressed, if you're, you know, as you mentioned earlier, right, got the cold or got the flu or, you know, got a migraine or any other physical ailment that could take you out the game or any mental ailments that could potentially take you out the game. So, yeah, man, it's important to put in that work. But as I talk about in the book also is the prioritization of health above all things, right? Because once the business day gets rolling, you're pretty much rolling. You know what I mean? There's no time to go back and or maybe there might not be time to go back and get that salad or work out. So I tell people one of the things that I recommend in the book is prioritizing your health the first thing throughout the day, because we often delude ourselves into thinking, I'll do it later. I'll get to it later and or later on in the day. And then, of course, we find ourselves lying in bed telling ourselves we'll do it tomorrow. Yes. So as soon as you wake up, one of the things that I definitely am a proponent of in the book is eating your salad first thing in the morning, eating your leafy greens and your fruits and your veggies first thing in the morning, so that you're able to get it out the way. And if you're on the go all day and you just happen to, and the only food options are, you know, gas station food and McDonald's, then at least you've already taken care of your system as well. And understanding that in order to even get to that salad, we've got to go to the grocery store. So even in Heal Thy Hustle, I talk about how to shop for groceries, even on a meager budget.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, this is about building habits, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, changing and building habits, or reinforcing, collect habits that you've got that perhaps aren't being adhered to as well as they should be.
Absolutely. And also the book, the information, right? So humans, our bodies have been the same for millions of years, right? So the information presented in Heal Thy Hustle is around. You can find it. So I would never front or fake like this is totally groundbreaking new information. But what I've attempted to do with Heal Thy Hustle is place a new paradigm on the information. Why is this information important for this particular group of people, right? Where we all know that drinking water is important, but for entrepreneurs, for people who are hustling, why is this important specifically for us, right? You know, and I explain in the book, right? Brain function. If you're going to be a creative, if you're making decisions constantly all day, those are electrical signals being sent from your brain to your body, right? That thought process is actually very taxing. So in order for us to make sure that our wiring and our systems are staying on point, what is the best, well, one of the best conductors of electricity known to man? Water. So making sure that we stay on point. And it's hard as an entrepreneur to continually make decisions if you're dehydrated. So like I say, just taking this information that we know about, that we engage with, but presenting it in a new way for a different audience to actually resonate, right? Because it's not that we don't know we should drink water. It's just we haven't heard it in such a way to where we're truly inspired to make it a part of our lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I love about how you're describing this and why I wanted to get you back on the show, because one of the things that I'm passionate about and we talk about a lot on the show is this idea of kind of ancient wisdom, all of the stuff that we draw on, all of the stuff that makes humans as amazing as they are, has been talked about for centuries and centuries. Yeah, right. People don't engage with that knowledge just because the texts are written in a way that is perhaps hard to understand or hard to read. And really, what we need is people like you to kind of like go in and pull that information out and reshape it, ready for today's world. So as actually it could be taken, and we need practical guidance with it as well, because a lot of that ancient wisdom was was exactly that. It was just wisdom. It was words of wisdom. Yeah, there was no there was no practical guide. It was almost, you know, because a lot of the way that information was shared, you know, when it was first written, it was shared, you know, by people sitting around together and seeing it, and it was learned. It was more of a learned behavior than a you know, than a textbook scholarly, you know, behavior. So we need those, we need those pointers. We need to be told why this is relevant and how to do it.
Right. Exactly. How you say why this is relevant. And also, you know, the concept of herbs and herbalism, I think, is spooky to some people, in the sense that, you know, when we think about herbalism, we think about mysticism or magic or, you know, things that are beyond our human and physical reach. And one of the things, or my goal, one of my goals with, you know, just my herbalism practice overall, and particularly with Heal Thy Hustle, is to simplify herbs, is to bring herbs to the people and to get them to acknowledge that they're already using herbs in their everyday lives. So whether that be, you know, using garlic, right? Garlic bread, or using hot sauce on your food, or using, right, adding cinnamon to your tea, or if you're eating curry, right, or mustard, understanding that there's a lot of turmeric in here, and what is turmeric a benefit for? So, you know, moving beyond just flavors and seasonings and truly understanding the medicinal power that herbs can potentially bring to any meal or any scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Does the book extend as well too? Because one of the things that, you know, I've, you know, some of my friends are quite involved in is this, yeah, the idea of really understanding where those herbs come from, and how they've been grown, how they've been nurtured. Yeah, because we're in an age where, yes, those things are all used, but in many cases, you know, they're produced through, you know, monoculture agriculture. They're produced, you know, mass produced, where, you know, the quality is not as high as it could be.
And that is also very true. Yes.
One of the things I'm starting to see a lot of is a trend towards, you know, collect foods where we know exactly where they come from. We know the provenance of it. Yeah. And we know the practices that are used by the farmers who are growing them. So we know, you know, for example, that a friend of mine that plants coffee and cacao in Colombia, yeah, the indigenous tribes that he plants with, you know, we know the process that they go through. They give offerings to the land when they're planting. They say prayers, you know, they're blessing the water. Yeah, so there's a lot of love that goes in from them into the plant. Yeah, that has a difference. You know, it's all energy, and it has a difference.
Yeah, Pete, man, you're hitting on some extremely important topics right now. You know, the power of intention in the book. And I was asked previously, why did I choose my particular style of herbalism? Why is Greco-Islamic or Unani herbalism important to me? And it wasn't, and I explained it essentially that our bodies are the same. So it's really just the cultural lens for these herbs that I use. And also, you know, like you say, the power of intention. So the words that you say, the thoughts that you think, right? The just the overall power of intention and focus is so extremely important in using herbs, because, you know, all of these things start with, and nothing is removed from, the power of our individual minds, where we know that we can take a sugar pill, and if we think that it's going to do something to our body, then that is going to have an effect on our body. So not just taking the herbs with the meal and bypassing it, but also really taking into consideration, what is the purpose here? What is the overall goal? What is our intention with using these herbs, and truly connecting that? And that's also one of the reasons I think, you know, that people give thanks or say their prayers before eating, is to give that moment of gratitude, is to focus on the intention of what do we want this food to do for our bodies. So yeah, man, it's actually extremely important. And I'm glad that you brought that up. And also, as much as I could have gone into that science inside of the book, I did my best to keep things rather concise. And so I touched on it a little bit, but I'm glad that you were able to kind of tease that out in this conversation, to have a minute to speak on it.
Yeah, cool. No, I mean, I think it's becoming more and more important. Yeah, and we're seeing it all the time. And yeah, that, like you say, that power of intent, and the focus, the awareness of what it is that we're eating, those are all quite, yeah, really, not just what it is that we're eating, but how we're, yeah, how we're acting and how we're behaving throughout the day, you know, are super important to our health and well-being.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And also, one of the things that you also touched on that I want to mention is the importance of ancestry and the importance of elders when it comes to herbalism. Because just as you mentioned, this ancient wisdom has been cataloged over time. So, you know, thankfully, I know what cayenne is capable of doing to the body because somebody else already experimented, they codified it, they wrote it down. So now I can read about the benefits of cayenne versus having to do all of my own experiments on my own. So I can, you know, experiment with cayenne to see how it's going to affect me. But because the ancients have already codified, classified, and used cayenne, I have a general understanding of where it's coming from. So when it comes to herbalism, yes, there's so many different mystical, traditional, spiritual elements that are interwoven, even from a very practical standpoint. And making sure that, you know, we are honoring these traditions that have been passed on to us.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're definitely like when we pull that information, you know, forward with us, we're definitely standing on the shoulders of giants, aren't we?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And I'm thankful and honored that I'm able to practice in this tradition. And also with the understanding that I have so much more to learn, right? That human bodies are so magnificent that, you know, even the foremost doctors are still learning about the intricacies of the human body, that we're still discovering species of herbs and how to use them. And our environment is constantly changing. So our bodies are doing different things in relation to the environment, right? So as much as I have more to learn, and with great humility, you know, I just presented everything that I've been learning over these past 10 years. So I'm just, you know, really excited about the audience. Yeah. And all readers being able to grab at least one thing from it, where Heal Thy Hustle isn't about being a perfect example or the paragon of healthy living. It's really just about increasing your quality of life. So whether that be eating more salad, getting more exercise, you know, taking more baths, fasting, incorporating fasting into your diet, I mean, into your regimen, or taking your sleep more seriously.
Yeah.
All of those things play into, you know, having a better quality of life. And then on the back end, these things will play into your ability to chase that bag with much more efficiency.
Yeah, for sure. Where would you want to see, you know, this type of work, you know, go? You know, what, I'm thinking about, you know, this is not... This is education that, you know, can be implemented in so many different places, you know, but where would you really like to see, yeah, this, you know, kind of like taken and run with, you know, where it can have perhaps, you know, the most impact?
Man, I think on the collegiate level, to be totally honest, where I think as I talk about in a book, where my healing journey began as a child and just being around my parents and seeing my parents get older and the different things that they had challenges with. But for me, healing myself, I can trace it back to my college experience. So as we laugh about the broke college student who is eating pizza 5 days a week, it's very serious in the sense that over time, these terrible eating habits will have an effect on this human body, right? The law of cause and effect. We've seen films like Super Size Me. Yeah. With the understanding that, yeah, you can't eat trash or artificial food for an extended period without any residual effects on the back end. So as a broke college student, that was where I experienced, I guess, the greatest downturn in my health and had to dig myself out that hole. And so presenting this information to college students so that they can think about their health habits before even diving into the workforce, right? Before even jumping headfirst into entrepreneurship, while they're still in school, being able to be introduced to these habits and develop some of these habits. And then also I know that a lot of institutions now have many more student-focused resources that are for mental health, that are for physical health, So I think college students, you know, just about to jump into the professional realm have the most benefit, because many of us jump in very young and then, you know, we trash our health in an attempt to climb the corporate ladder. So that's that, you know, young professionals certainly can get benefit from this.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head there when you said, you know, typically, yeah, we're kind of like, yeah, we're coming straight from college and we're jumping straight into, yeah, the workplace. But it's more than that, because what we're jumping straight into is, again, just kind of like old behavior patterns. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, these are historical behavior patterns. It's like, you know, we're kind of like just perpetuating, yeah, this, yeah, the cycle of kind of like poor health and the cycle of stress and anxiety within the workplace, because, you know, we're not educating those kids before they get into that place. So they don't know that there's a different choice. They don't know there's a different way to setting up.
Exactly.
They get into
exactly,
you know, the hustle of the day.
Yep. And many of us have seen our parents run their sales into the ground, whether that be blue collar or white collar backgrounds, to where, you know, coming from Generation X or baby boomer generation, their thing was go, 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 regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you're thinking, just continue to go. And we've seen what that does to their bodies over extended periods of time, man. So as much as we have this hustle culture that doesn't want people to sleep and don't get any rest, I work, 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 we got to let some of that go. We've got to let some of that go.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Where can people get a hold of the book, and when can they get a hold of the book? Is it launched now? Is it available now?
So we are still in the pre-order mode. They will be available in inboxes. We've had shout out to everybody who's purchased a copy so far, a pre-order copy. They'll be in your inbox December 27th. So this version is just the ebook version right now, but it's jam-packed with good information, and it'll be in your inbox on December 27th. And they can purchase it for $20 right now at healergang.com, www.healergang.com.
Awesome. Perfect. And
I'd be remiss, Pete, if I didn't mention that this particular copy of the book, this debut copy of the book, comes with 2 months of health and accountability coaching provided by me. And I really want to work with the readers of the book. I really want the feedback, because it's going to allow me to pressure test my methods in different environments. So I know what has worked for me. I know what has worked, you know, in my life, but I want to see if these things work for other people. And not only do they work, but as we talk about what are the best practices for a particular lifestyle, right? So for that mother in California, I want to know how it's worked for her. For that that college student out of New York, I want to know how it's working for them, and what different challenges are presented with different environments and different locations in life.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, we'll put a link on the page so people can like check that out. But I think as a refresher, it was healergang.com, HEALERGANG.com.
Yes, sir. And the Healer Gang, just to give some context there, is as we talk about that ancient wisdom being aggregated. So the Healer Gang is for anybody in this day and age and in our society now who is on the path of healing themselves and understands how serious it is to heal themselves, where often we think of healing as this soft, you know, dainty type of pursuit, when in actuality, there's nothing soft about healing, right? So some of our greatest healers over time were also some of our greatest war champions or some of our greatest revolutionaries, right? So healing is actually very serious business. And a Healer Gang is anybody who's looking to heal themselves and just want to share their healing journey so that we can all benefit from the information provided.
Awesome. It sounds amazing, Raz. Is there anything else that you want to cover? Any other points that you want to touch on this? I certainly have a lot better idea myself now of like where you're coming from, what it is that you want to achieve with this book. And I know it's going to be a great success. And throwing in that coaching, I think, is an incredible opportunity for people, because we all need that accountability. It's great. Yeah, having the information in front of us, but putting it into action and implementing it is always the
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Thanks, Pete. No, man, I don't have anything else. As always, man, you're a great host. You always toss the perfect questions at the perfect time in order for me to explain what's necessary, man. So I appreciate you hosting today. But no, I'm good to go, man. I think we pretty much answered any questions that the audience could potentially have, I think.
Perfect. Fantastic. Well, like I said, we'll put all the details in the description here. And yeah, I highly recommend that you kind of jump on this and take advantage of not just the information, that ancient wisdom that Raz has brought forward, but also some kind of one-to-one coaching with him as well. Cool. Thanks a lot, Raz.
Thanks so much, Pete. Appreciate it, man. I definitely appreciate the quick turnaround. I know you had initially projected January, so this was perfect.
No worries, man. I appreciate it.